Beautiful.
Excellent, excellent. How come I don't hear me?
I hear you just fine.
All right.
You're there, dude. You're there. You're there.
All right, all right. I like
that. We're still having growing pains down here, and so is Doug. There's just been so many changes here in the last few weeks that, like, there's what... I think the original plan, Doug, if I'm correct, was to, like, limit, like, to try to, like, not have as many wires down here.
I want fewer wires.
And I looked down. I looked down on the floor, and it's just a sea of cable.
Well, and there's even cables like running across tables now. There's wires.
Well,
everywhere.
It's just part of the. You know, we just got to get it worked out. You know, mm-hmm. And you got your things to do down here too. So, you know, we have the shaving cream also.
Yeah,
so
we do have the shaving cream. The shaving cream is good to go.
That's important. We need the shaving cream.
We are good to go because this is yet another edition of Ghostly Talk.
Yes, sir.
I'm Doug.
I'm Scott L.
I'm Will.
And Karma is off tonight, and she will be back with us as soon as humanly possible.
Yes, yes, yes.
But
yes.
For tonight's show, we've got a really, really cool show for you lined up. We've got Michael Trudeau.
And encore.
An encore, but yeah, Michael Trudeau.
We got the bugs worked out. There was just, you know, and people deserve to know this, too, and I'm sure Michael's fine with this. There was such a response from his, he was actually, like, before last week, last Sunday, the Wednesday before last Sunday, he was on Coast to Coast AM. So what happened to this poor guy is
he was on Wednesday, I thought.
Yeah, the Wednesday before this past Sunday.
That's right. Yeah.
He was on Coast to Coast AM with Hilly Rose. And what happened was he got hit so hard on his website and his phone lines that everything got locked up.
Yeah.
And he, of course, in all that rustle and bustle, he forgot about cute little, sweet little Ghostly Talk sitting over here in the corner. Which, at least, I admire the honesty. And things happen. Things happen. So I got to talk to him this week, and you know, we got everything worked out. So we will be. He will be calling at 7:30.
Well, when both Ghostly Talk listeners email him, I swear they're not going to like clog up his email and
shut
his phone lines down and stuff.
I don't think we're going to shut him down.
Yeah.
But I think we can get the message out. Hopefully we can, because it's going to be an important show today. There are a few things going on, though, before we get to that. Now, we have both seen it now, so we can both make our comments.
Yes, we have indeed.
I know you want... I'm fairly sure that you'd like to speak about this just a little bit.
Just a teeny little bit.
Why don't you start, and then I'm going to listen to you and laugh, and then, you know, you go ahead and...
Well, as you all know, here at Ghostly Talk, one of our passions is EVP, Electronic Voice Phenomenon.
Absolutely.
And so, and of course, we're extremely excited and pleased to hear about White Noise.
The movie, yeah.
The movie, White Noise.
Starring Michael Keaton in a theater near you.
Yes. And $9 for a ticket.
$8.50. Wait. I paid $8.50.
I paid $9.
Ah.
Well, there was the Will charge in it, because he paid, and then I had to pay him back.
Oh, okay. All right.
So, yeah, at 50 cents, you know, service fee. But what happens is, yeah, I went to see it, and I still wonder what it was about, and I think I made my points pretty clear on the forums at www.
I haven't read that yet. Honestly.
If you go to www.ghostlytalk.com and click on the, I don't remember, it's in the interactive part about the forums.
Yeah, okay.
You go in there, and there's, you know, White Noise Caution Spoiler, I think is the title.
Did you put that? You spoiled it?
No, someone else had put it in there.
Oh, really?
And, I still don't know what it was about. I know one of the stars was Michael Keaton.
Which I was really excited to see in this film. I was excited to see that.
Well, I thoroughly enjoy Michael Keaton normally.
Yeah, he's a wonderful actor.
For this particular project, I'm wondering what it was about. I just have absolutely no clue. I'm not an unintelligent, you know...
Automaton.
That's a good word.
Well, the thing I think that the problem we're going to have with this film, and a lot of people listening to the show are going to have with this film, is that we're a bit more educated.
Well,
and concerning EVP,
I don't know. I think even if anybody, you know, your mother, your grandmother, your 15-year-old kid, if anybody goes to see that movie, I cannot see anybody walking out of that saying, "Oh, that was about this or that was about that."
Yeah,
we met the villain one time.
Yeah,
until, you know, the climactic end. What was the motive? I just don't understand, because I don't want to spoil it for anybody.
No, we're not going
to
do
it. But
that.
I also don't want anybody to go see it. Because why waste your 199 minutes?
Don't do that one guy standing out in front of the theater picketing. Do not go see White Noise. Do not go see White Noise. Do not.
Honestly, people, rent it. Rent it. Do not own a copy. Do not
purchase
a $9 or $8.50 ticket. It's just not worth it.
The problem I had mainly was the fact, it's the same gripe I have with Ghost Hunters, the show on Sci-Fi, is that, and we know this is Hollywood, and I think anybody with half a brain is going to know this is Hollywood, but I know there's people out there that are going to get, they're going to be stuck in the mentality that, okay, just like Ghost Hunters, they have their own vans, they have their own trailer, they have all this gear and all this expensive, you know, laptops all over the place and wireless digital cameras and all these toys. The same thing happened, seemed to happen in this movie where, well, hey, I want to do this sort of thing.
Well,
so I'm going to go out and spend $10,000 on a wall of equipment.
That was about the only almost believable thing in the entire movie.
Well, yeah, I agree, but...
The almost believable thing. Now, the EVP expert dude, who, by the way, is my favorite character.
He's very cool.
The EVP expert dude is... even though he is awesome in this movie, and even though the camera work in this movie is phenomenal...
The camera is
just phenomenal. There is no story. There is no endearment to the other characters. There is no reason you should hate the evil dude at the end. There is no reason he does what he does. There is nothing to support the fantastic camera work and the one cool guy in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that's believable is that the cool guy had all that equipment in his house.
It's believable, but is it attainable in real life?
Oh, the stuff he had, I think so. I think over years, because he said that in the movie, the one thing that they spent a lot of time on.
The EVP expert dude you're talking about.
The EVP expert dude. That's believable, because it looked like a ragtag bunch of equipment, which looks just like Michigan Ghost.
Well, that, yeah.
And just like every ghost hunter I've met.
Well, I'm talking about the other system.
Well, and then Michael Keaton, the star of the show, and I don't even remember his character's name. The only thing...
Rivers.
Okay, Mr. Rivers. Good. He was evidently some kind of well-to-do architect in the movie, and he was in charge of important things like construction sites.
Mm-hmm.
In case you saw the movie and don't remember this, because it was just briefly displayed. He's like this important architect dude or something, and everybody at the office that he went to, once or twice, they pretty much knew who he was. So, and he had a personal assistant. So,
well, the problem,
didn't understand why he wanted to order flowers. All she was like, "Something's going on."
Yeah, I remember that.
Something's going on.
I remember
on.
That.
The problem
I see
What's
with
going
that.
On? No, really. If you want me to get flowers, there's something that must be going on. and I'm like, oh, and then after she closes the door, she turns around, she's like, "Something's going on." And I'm like, okay, they spent 55 minutes on her for no reason. She doesn't play any other part in the film. She plays absolutely nothing to do with the plot,
Nothing
to do with the movie, nothing to do with EVP, nothing to do with anything. That's what this movie is. It's a straight... Yeah, just turn that off. It's a string of scenes. That's all it is.
Well, that lends to an interesting idea, though, because
we're talking about
a multi-million dollar film, though, a production here, okay? And the thing that bugs me, and I agree with you, I agree. I saw the film, and I told you on the phone, I'm like, well, I enjoyed it for, you know, but it wasn't anything that was like, you know, I gotta go, you know, Godfather, you know, Part 4 or something like that. I mean, it wasn't that brilliant. Why would somebody dump that much money into something like that when they know? And it's clear, is crystal. I'm with you on that they didn't develop the characters properly. The story wasn't told. I've seen pornos with a better plot.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen them more developed with more.
I haven't. No, I've heard about pornos with a better plot.
Why would somebody dump that much money into something like that when they know they got a crap story? And unfortunately, I don't like believing critics, but every critic I've read concerning this film. Every critical analysis by big names and whatnot say it's an absolute piece of garbage.
And hello, it is. They're right this time.
My question I have, though, is why would they dump that kind of money and that kind of resources into something they knew, I don't think they knew it was going to flop, but that was going to flop. Is this...
The question is,
is this the shape of things to come, though, down the road? Is this something they know? Is this a market they know to be grabbed onto and they decide just to make a cash cow film real quick, get it out there, let's make some money off it?
You and I, uniquely, mm-hmm. it appears, happen to know of a movie that may be going into production, right?
Yeah.
And we happen to know pretty much the plot and everything.
Yeah.
That has a plot.
Well, yeah, we worked on it.
And the writer fellow...
Sorry, a little self-loathing there.
Well, the writer fellow was extremely interested in developing real characters that you could believe in, a plot line that was just fantastical enough to be, you know, made into a movie, but still relatively believable.
Yeah.
And he was very concerned that, you know, of course the special effects are going to be absolutely atrocious. You know, they're going to dump money into special effects.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, that's expected nowadays. But he wanted the base. He wanted the foundation of a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
This movie, White Noise, where's the foundation? It's more like, have you seen those advertisements and they're like in some like hut village in Africa and they're begging for pennies a day, the cost of a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
That's the quality of this movie, is the building standard.
But that makes me
ask
that question though. Why, if let's not, I mean, let's not assume that the people who produce films out there in Hollywood have no idea what's going on around them. That's what their job is to know what's going on around them, to know what people are going to want to go watch. And that's the point right there, to know what people are going to go watch. And this movie may do crappy with video sales, but maybe, the hype this movie had, especially in the paranormal community, was just gigantic. I mean, everybody was talking about that. There was so much buzzing going on the week before this film came out. And I know for a fact, I mean, I went opening night.
Mm-hmm.
I went opening night. I mean, I dissed on all you guys, and I went opening night. Nobody was available, and I'm like, I really want to see the film. I was that excited. Is this the shape of things to come, though? Are we going to see more films like this?
We went yesterday, and it was packed.
Yeah. Are we going to see more films like this, though?
Friday night. I'm sorry. We went Friday night. Packed.
Yeah.
Absolutely packed. We had to sit in the front row. Mm-hmm. My eye got tired. Because I only have one good eye. And like, mm-hmm. watching the entire screen with one good eye was really difficult.
That's the question,
watching
though.
That movie with any good eyes is insane. That was the Batman and Robin of paranormal.
Yeah.
I thought Batman and Robin, that movie, just absolutely should have never been made.
Terrible.
And this one was worse.
Are we going to see more films like this, though?
Not if I have anything to do with it. And I know I had something to do with the upcoming project.
Yes, yeah. We're in trouble.
Oh, no. Here we go.
Going to call and yell
White
at us.
White Noise Lover, yeah. Well, Tom and Lisa Butler, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Who's here?
What's that?
Ah! Hang on.
Hey, how are you guys talking to me? I thought you were on the
on
the radio right now.
We are on the radio right now, and so are you.
Oh my goodness! How's everybody doing in Ghostly Talk Land?
We're talking about White Noise. Have you seen it?
Well, actually, I thought I was calling Siskel and Ebert, man. I was sitting here listening to you guys take down White Noise. I thought I'd call in on some of the parts I liked about it.
Would you? Well,
you liked the part?
Let's try not to spoil it, though.
You know what, guys? I really, anything that goes for what we do is pretty cool to get publicity stirred up for. You
of
know,
course.
We know it's real.
Yeah.
I like the quotes they used by Edison at the beginning. And
that
was cool.
That was good.
And at the end, the percentage of threatening EVPs, which was a humdinger, if you ask me, because I've probably got 16 EVPs right here at the house that said bad stuff to me. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, I haven't been broken up yet or anything chased me down a hall or, you know, but without giving away the ending of the movie, you know.
What ending of the movie? It never began, it never had a middle, and it never had an end.
Don't go see Darkness either. Oh,
okay.
This is the first time I've been to a theater in 4 years. You realize that, Sean?
Yeah, it's been a while for me too, Scott. And I got my wife out finally, and she loved it. But I think somebody said it the best in the group that I'm in, the Indiana Ghost Trackers. When they went and seen it, and they walked out, and the Ghost Trackers looked at each other like, "What do you guys think?" You know, he said, "Well, it's like a bunch of bus drivers going to watch a movie on bus how to drive buses."
Well, yeah.
We expect more.
Yeah.
Okay.
We would expect more, but your average moviegoer who's just going to get scared a little bit, have a night of entertainment, I don't know if they're going to expect the same things we're going to expect.
But I don't know if they achieved what they expected.
Well, you know, I think it started off really good, the anticipation, the building up to, but then the building up kind of just went nowhere. You build up to nothing.
Well, the movie just kind of level off.
I'll probably have the bootleg copy in my files, but I'm not buying it.
You bring it?
I think it's good reference material.
I mean, I tried it. It's good reference.
If I need to know anything about EVPs, I'll just call Tom and Lisa and say, you know, dude, I need.
I don't know if they're going to want to talk to us anymore after this.
So it looks like they were not referenced
in the credits.
Really?
It looks like they went straight to World ITC and just looked at the front page of the website and said, okay, this is what we're doing. You know, they only took half the process and used it.
Well, that's one thing I noticed about the film is it seemed to deal with more things that, you know, from where we're standing right now, it seemed to deal with more things that World ITC is working on as opposed to EVP analysis. I mean,
right. We're
talking about instrumental transcommunication. These people were trying to have at least... They were using ITC type equipment, but they were capturing EVP type results. It seemed
right.
They were getting voices.
They were picking up voices on the radio with the radio going. And,
yeah.
And I've heard of that happening. But you can't run out. And I've done this before. You can't just have a TV with white snow on it and sit there and watch it because you'll go crazy.
Yeah.
And it's what I like to call the Peter Pan syndrome. You know, if you look at a cloud long enough or anything that's jarbled up like that white static on the screen, you can see your mom cooking breakfast if you look hard enough into it.
That's all. That's each person's perception.
That would be.
That's each person's perception, though. I mean, they're all going to see something different, and that is the Peter Pan.
But you don't hear something different in these EVPs that were produced for that particular movie.
Well, from what I understand. This is just buzz that's going on with this kind of thing. People tell me that the stuff they used on the film was actual scientifically researched EVPs. I don't know where they came from, but they were
actually.
Didn't
they say it was based on a true story or based on a story?
Sean, did you see that?
Based on true phenomena. It wasn't based on true story. It was based on true phenomena, which we all know, electronic voice phenomena. Yeah, it's a real thing. But
yeah,
the stuff they showed in the movies isn't how it works, man.
Well, not from the way we do it. I mean,
right? Maybe there is. Maybe we're doing it wrong. Maybe the movie's right.
Well, first of all, I wish I had that much time just to sit around.
The movie was wrong.
What? The movie was wrong.
The movie was wrong in many, many, many ways.
I know.
It was wrong for me to go.
I tried some experimentation last night. I had a first investigation since our World ITC show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm up here right now with my son, and I'm sitting down, and I'm trying to review it. I had a real hard time with the trans video. I used Misty's, one of the members', little TV video combination deals.
Mm-hmm.
Had a real hard time getting the swirling mist in the back.
Okay.
What I would get was either a flashing light, or I would get what looks like sometimes I get a swirling mist, but at a point it looks like numbers going around in a circle.
Really?
From the feedback from the camera. I think it's just the type of TV, because I can get perfect results up here upstairs on my little Hitachi's TV set, 32-inch. But I couldn't do it on site, and I'm right here looking at the tapes right now. I haven't seen anything as of yet. But basically what we were looking at was a white screen. Thanks, Bob. But we were looking at the green screen, and it's driving me nuts. I've been sitting here looking at it for 45 minutes, you know, and it kind of pulsates sometimes. But if you notice, if somebody walks near the camera or in front of it or around it, the focus is going to kind of pulsate on the screen.
Yeah,
well, one thing we're working on right now, I'm still waiting to get back from Mark on this, so I can't make any promises yet.
Right.
We were actually sent the Spiricom tape. You know, we talked about that, Sean?
Right.
I have that in my possession. The day I received it, which when I was not working, so I had plenty of time to play around with it, I actually fed it up and I have a digital version of that. I'm waiting for Mark to get a hold of me because what we're going to try to do, and this is only if we have permission from Mark Macy, which, you know, I don't see a problem, but I want to make sure it's cool with the people at World ITC, is I want to post up the Spiricom report, the audio version
of the Spiricom tape for download,
just like any of our archives, for free.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're working on that right now, and I think that'll help a lot of people out.
Have you guys had any results yet with anything?
Well, we have our wave session that we did on the radios and Doug's computer.
It's in the computer.
Supposed to give me a copy of that.
I didn't pull it out yet.
Yeah, so I have to review last weekend's investigation because we did do a house last weekend, and we ran the way we did it last weekend. Well, we talked about it just a little bit. We positioned three beat up old radios we bought from the flea market,
right,
in like a circular, like a horseshoe type pattern.
Well, I got an EVP real strong last night on this investigation, old Victorian style, early, actually 1890 built home. And we were there. They see a woman run down the stairs.
Yeah.
They see a man that always stays on the woman's side of the bed upstairs and looks at her in the middle of the night, you know.
Hot.
And I went up there, and I just felt like I should focus time up there. So I got my laptop set up, and I played the white noise CD, just the shh, you know, in the background.
Now, you played a CD. You used a CD? You used a CD, you said?
Yeah, I used a CD.
Okay.
I feel like that's the best way in case, you know, in case an airplane, like you said on last week's show, an airplane goes over, or
but that's
George Nori coast to coast wave that happens to be flying by. You know what I mean? So I used the CD. I had no results. I just started using the EVP maker.
Yeah, you downloaded that too.
And I don't know everything about that yet, but I've been in contact with the, via email with the creator of that.
Hey, that jerk didn't email me back.
Yeah, I heard that last week, and he hasn't emailed me back because I told him I said, "Hey, my buddy's at Ghostly Talk would probably love to get you on." Stefan.
Yeah, Stefan something. That's where you downloaded him.
I emailed him. I said, "My friends at Ghostly Talk would probably love to talk to you, man."
And I already emailed him. I'm one step ahead of you, man. I did that.
Maybe this cat doesn't speak English or something. Maybe it's all German.
We can get an interpreter.
Well, yeah.
GT interpreter.
We got to get our official GT interpreter.
Well, give me a call. I'd like to, you know, because I always like to talk to somebody about their product.
Yeah.
Or I buy it or download it for free to understand how it's working. I can read off the internet all day long, and I just chase my tail sometimes.
It's an interesting little piece of software he developed. It really is.
I got it, and the only thing I got off of it, Scott L., was I took a radio station here in Indy, all Hispanic, because I don't speak Spanish. And Latino, and he was speaking Spanish, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
I taped it to my laptop, and then I hit make EVP, saved it, and, of course, you get jarbled, you know, like that.
Yeah.
I did use that in the background last night, and I did get a man's voice in the woman's room. And I'm going to send that to you guys probably tonight.
Okay.
A man's voice that says, in there, real loud. But I think I could have got it without background noise. So, I mean, it didn't sound like it originated from the actual noise.
You want to take with the EVP maker, you want to take noises. You want to take certain noises. You got to think about, using voices. What this thing does is it takes a piece of audio, breaks it up into certain, like, little minuscule sections, and then mixes those all around.
Right.
Okay? And that's what makes this random, it's a random noise generator type tool. The thing that's funny about that is if you just take like a white noise sound or a brown noise and jumble that up, and it really won't make any difference because it's all the same noise, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's used for certain situations. And the idea behind that is, like, let's say you're going, we've discussed this on the show before. If you go to, let's say, you go to the house of a dead clown, a guy who was a clown in life and he passed away or something like that, and they say, I'm just using this as an example, don't look at me like that, Doug.
No, I'm psychoanalyzing you as we speak. Yeah.
No, let's say this guy, now they see there's a ghost of a clown that haunts this house or something like that. What you try to maybe find is, like, maybe snippets of, like, you know, Krusty the Clown or stuff like that. No, I'm serious.
You try to
bring these up. That's based on the theory that, you know, these things actually are conscious.
Well, what I got off of that EVP maker website that I went to, and I read the whole darn thing, and I'm still confused, but it said, you know, to use a foreign language that you would not understand. That way, if something comes out of it, it's your language.
It'll stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah, it'll stick right out for you.
But I know I'm not doing it right. I know I'm not just supposed to be saying make EVP and use that as a background noise off my laptop. I'm sure that's a technique that can be used.
Pop me an email this week sometime if you get time.
Uh-huh.
And we'll go back and forth on this and see if we can get some ideas together on that.
Well, that sounds good, Scott, because I think I'm doing it wrong. I think I'm.
Well, we can figure it out. You have my number, too. Just give me a holler or something like that.
Okay.
That's cool. We got to hop off, though, Sean, because our guest is going to be calling in any minute, okay?
Absolutely,
guys. We got to go to break. But, definitely, get in contact with me this week, and we'll see if we can work something out with you, all right?
Okay, sounds good, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Sean. Take care of yourself. Nice to hear from you again.
Bye bye.
Later.
Right. That was Sean from Indiana Ghost Trackers.
Great guy.
He's,
love having him call in. Yes, he's a lot of fun.
He's been our host for a couple of expeditions down there.
Yeah. He's been the host of this show, too, sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes
he's mine. Hey, this guy knows his stuff, and he's a vocal man, and I like that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And there's a link on our homepage to Indiana Ghost Trackers under Sean Burris, because he's the regional training director.
He's also a movie star, too.
And Mr. Proof Negative. Yeah.
He's Mr. Proof Negative.
So
he's not happy about that, but hey, that's all right.
Hey, he gave it the good old college try, and that's what counts.
And he got on TV too. We're still working on that.
So I do want to say that this is indeed Ghostly Talk, and we are broadcast live from 7 p.m. till 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Sunday nights, and we're live on Pioneer. Mm-hmm. So in order to get to Pioneer, you would go to pioneer.rolo.net.
Hi, Phobos.
And yeah, get Phobos on the German translator. Okay.
Yeah, I know Jeff. I know Jeff speaks German.
Oh,
I bet
there
you,
we go.
I bet you $10 he speaks German.
But unfortunately, he can probably translate from German to English. But we speak American, so we have yet another layer.
So we have to get another interpreter in there, English to
American
interpreter.
Let's see what we got going.
This
will
be a car. This is a car wreck of a show waiting to happen. I can see it already. What did he say? Oh, so, crikey. What does crikey mean?
It'll get the Australian.
Cheerio. What the hell does cheerio mean?
Get the Australian interpreter. So anyway, we are indeed broadcast live 7 to 9 p.m.
Yep.
Pioneer.rolo.net. Our own website, of course, is www.ghostlytalk.com. And Ghostly Talk, first of all, I want to say thank you to everyone for listening.
Yeah.
Because without you guys, it would be kind of dull down here. But I get lots of great email, and we're going to be talking to some cool guests, of course, coming up.
We got some fun stuff coming up.
But this week,
another ORVP, by the way, too.
Oh, excellent! And this week, of course, is going to be Michael Trudeau, and we'll bring him back right after this.
Hi, my name is Sean Burr from the Indiana Ghost Trackers, www.indianaghost.org, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
Listen to W Paranormal Talk Radio, Sunday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Pioneer Radio Network. For show information, visit wparanormal.com.
www.missourighost.net. You are listening to Ghostly Talk.
Hey, guys. What's up? Good time.
Yeah, I remember her saying, I'm already dead. 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 I'm already dead.
Look, may I get you to stand up and hold your hands and thoughts even though
I'm already dead. I'm already dead.
You're going to get up and scream. Get up and burn an X in your head.
All right, it's time to switch gears.
Time to switch gears, yes. We talked about EVP this first half hour and that movie. That movie, which must not be named. No.
Never say the W word down here in the basement again.
Hi there. We happen to have a really, really exciting next couple of segments for you.
Yeah, this is
I've been looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to this very, very much because when I first saw the email, you know, hey, I want to talk about cashless society, I was like, I know Scott L. and Will would be into that so very much. So I emailed right back. We have...
Well, it isn't an interest either. It's
a reality.
It's a reality. It isn't a hobby. You know, some of this stuff's hobby, but some of this stuff is very real life. And what we're going to be talking about here for the next hour and a half is going to be very, very real life.
Oh, yes. And I noticed that there's more people, a lot of people than ever on GoFreeTalk.com.
Our site right now.
And there's a lot of people in the chat room. So if you want to follow along and type in questions for our guests or anything, go to pioneer.rollo.net and click on the text chat link and get in there and...
question away.
We'll try and work it into our conversation.
Yeah, definitely.
We have coming up right now, live on our telephone, right here in the Haunted Basement Studios.
Waiting patiently.
Is Michael Trudeau.
Yes.
Michael Trudeau is a broadcaster. He's a financier kind of person, all into finances.
Mm-hmm.
I know him from the...
Midas Report.
The Midas Report.
Yeah.
And so that's why I recognized the name immediately. And
that's why I recognized it immediately, too, and said, huh? Wow, okay.
We got an email from Michael Trudeau. So what happens is, though, he's an expert. He's an expert on finances. Mm-hmm. He's an expert on broadcasting, of course. And so he's got all these qualities that make this upcoming part going to be just...
Yeah.
Absolutely mind-blowing.
And he's currently part of the Colonial Resources Group now.
Yes, and we have a link to Colonial Resources.
Yeah, it's on the site right now.
And it even talks about a radio show that I had not heard yet, but I'm going to start tuning into.
Mm-hmm,
so,
definitely.
Yeah, so he's doing yet more radio.
Busy man.
So, busy man. We have him for you right here, right now. Hi, Michael.
Well, good day, gentlemen. I appreciate you inviting me out of the program.
Yeah, we really appreciate you coming on, Mike.
Yes.
Well, especially just learning now that you guys are huge Red Wing fans, that definitely will help the interview along nicely.
Yeah, we. it's the central focus of the interview tonight. We knew that was going to be part of it.
We knew Red Wings was going to get in there somewhere. Yeah, we're definitely here just north of Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, right now the big news is the International Auto Show.
Yeah.
So that around here, that's dwarfed the.
Any type of sports
strike, going on.
As a matter of fact, I just did a story on that Jeep that came out with the dual Hemis.
I've heard about that. What's the name of that Jeep again?
You know, it's one of the. It's just a Jeep concept from the actual Jeep Corp from Daimler Chrysler, and it's the new. I believe it's going to be something along the lines of the new Hummer style Jeep that they've put out. But
that's going to be the smaller version of the H2, from what I understand.
Right. Yeah. What's really slick about this thing is the wheelbase on both sides turns, so they can actually do a U-turn without moving. I mean, literally, the body of the vehicle doesn't move. They almost do a U-turn right on top of the wheelbase.
Yeah, I believe they call it the electronic four-wheel steering system. I know
something like 750 horse combined with the dual Hemis, plus it can back itself down to a four-cylinder, so that's pretty slick.
Well, that'd be nice just to keep it at a four-cylinder, in my opinion. That's a lot of power.
Because we're all about...
a little overkill, is my thought.
If anybody's heard our past broadcast, I'm sure they have. They've heard my opinion on the H2, and I'm not too happy with that particular vehicle, which is a GM product, though, too. So.
Well, the thing with those Hummers, I tell you, I saw somebody had emailed me a photo of a Hummer that had gotten into a crash with a small pickup truck. I don't know if you guys ever saw that.
I did see that.
Photoshop deal or not, but here's the small S10 style pickup truck or size pickup truck. That's pretty good, pretty good damage. It's pretty well wrecked, but the Hummer was absolutely demolished. And I thought, this is the thing that you might buy that for, was to protect yourself in a crash. But obviously didn't stand up too well against the little
I did see that picture, and I laughed hysterically. I thought it was just and I don't think it was a Photoshop job. I think it's very real.
Well, I think our particular issues with vehicles, and mind you, we're from Motor City area.
We have access to anything we want here.
Everything around here is all Motor City, all cars, all vehicles. Unfortunately for me, maybe I'm a little bit of a tiny fish in a huge sea, but I don't like all these huge cars. I drive a little tiny ancient Escort because it gets fantastic gas mileage, and because I like it, it's a six shift too. But
yeah,
these bigger cars just don't do it for me.
I've got a pretty small car too. I've got a four cylinder, and same reason, because it gets good gas mileage. I have to commute from my home in Wisconsin. I've got a small rural area farm that I have, and to commute into the offices, it's an hour and a half in each direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you start looking at the gas prices when they were really getting up there, and that's pretty significant when it starts coming to a Monday through Friday commute.
Absolutely. Now, there's some things that have been going on. And we are all too aware of this. And we've complained about it on this show. We've talked about it on this show. And actually, we just had a survey on our website not too long ago. I think you changed that, didn't you, Doug?
No, it still
it's
says
still,
that.
It's still up there?
It's got different results now, though.
Okay. Well, no, actually, you did change it. It was the one before that. And the question was very simple.
Oh.
The question was very simple.
Yeah.
Will you take the chip? And there's a lot of different ideas on this. There's
I
a lot
should
of
look at the results on that.
Yeah, well, go ahead and look at that. But Michael, that's one thing we want to talk about tonight.
Sure,
that's part of the discussion.
Just judging from that statement, you guys, obviously your listenership is ahead of the curve. Then I would imagine if you're even into the discussion phase of the chip itself.
Okay.
Well, then, I mean, the first thing that you would do is if somebody said, "Well, wait a minute. What do you mean? Would you take the chip? What's the chip?"
Yeah, exactly.
So that would be the first step. The first thing that you want to know about the microchip itself is its evolution. And it started off, actually was patented by a man whose name is George J. Lichtblau, and interesting name, but he's the chief executive officer of a company called International Fiber Systems Incorporated.
Okay.
Now, my guess is like, anybody else who's invented something along the lines of, new technology phases, nuclear power and so on, they had originally decided to design something like this, like radio, like electricity, like all these things, because they would be viewed as something that might be good for mankind. Obviously, are overlooking the nefarious aspects of their invention.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether George invented this thing with insidious plans or not, but generally speaking, that's the guy who's got the patent on it.
Mm-hmm.
How I first became aware of it was doing research for my program, as you guys mentioned, the Midas Report,
mm-hmm.
on just looking for regular news and articles to talk about during the day. And in 2003, I stumbled across an article about Walmart being caught microchipping privately without it telling anybody, microchipping some Lipfinity lipstick tubes that were sold at one of the stores down in Oklahoma. It was actually the Broken Arrow Walmart store in Oklahoma.
Okay.
And interestingly enough, I'm thinking to myself as I'm looking at that, why would you guys microchip with radio frequency microchips lipstick tubes to follow around the nation? It really made very little sense to me. So from that point, I just touched on the story on the show, didn't really get into deep discussion about it,
uh-huh.
But from that point began off air doing a lot of research,
mm-hmm.
And that's when I started to get really interested in this aspect, because I found out that first off, Walmart has mandated to all of their suppliers that by the year 2005, which we are handily entering now,
mm-hmm.
all of the suppliers have got to be microchipping their products, and that really kind of struck a nerve with me about the fact that we've got radio microchips going into these products, and why would they do something like.
Well, of all products, too, the first one to find out about, at least as far as you're concerned, of all products, why would you microchip a tube of lipstick?
I just...
The whole thing was very bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
Did they want to follow women around the country? I mean, I don't get it.
Right.
But, you know, I heard, though, through the grapevines and Google News, that that program actually is, you know, the Walmart program where all their suppliers have to put RFID in their, you know, on either the product itself or in the shipping container, that it's not going very well.
No, it's not. As a matter of fact, they're meeting quite a bit of resistance from the suppliers. And the interesting part is the resistance that Walmart is meeting from the suppliers, one would question as to whether or not it's a planned or an orchestrated resistance, or just simply the resistance of, look, man, we're trying to get this thing on for you, but things are busy over here at the so-and-so plant.
Uh-huh.
You know, so it's interesting to find out what the resistance that they're meeting is. But, you know, we can speculate on why they're bucking that system. I think it's just a matter of an oversight from individuals thinking that they could get it done that quickly, and it's just not happening that fast. But the one thing to look at is that these radio frequency ID chips, once I found out that this is something that existed, I started to research the chip itself and find out what uses could possibly be involved with this, and I came across the corporation Verichip. And I would gather to guess that probably you two gentlemen, being as astute as you are, have probably heard of Verichip, but probably quite a bit of the listeners have.
Mm-hmm.
And Verichip is a corporation that comes to us via Florida. And this is a small company that originally was a small company, I should say, down in Palm Beach. And what these guys did was they got the implantable personal verification system chip,
mm-hmm.
also known as Verichip. And it's interesting because when you start to talk to people about this radio implantable chip, and you start to ask people, have you heard about that? They usually say, you know, look at you with that doe or deer in the headlights look of that's impossible. You know, why would some... And you start to wonder about how that people could have actually missed this hitting the scene. And the reason I say that is because when you start to look at where this has been as far as media, it's staggering. They did features on this Verichip in Time Magazine, People Magazine,
mm-hmm.
the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, Wired News did a story on it. It was all over the Associated Press, all over Reuters. Company executives from Verichip have gotten up and discussed and demonstrated the technology on NBC's Today Show, ABC's Good Morning Show, CBS Early Show, CBS Evening News, ABC's World News Tonight, the CBS Eye on America, CNN with Paula Zahn, CNN Headline News. I mean, it's been on the O'Reilly Factor. It's been all over every national public radio station. The BBC did a story, and CBS Radio did it. So when you start to ask people about this, and they say, no, I never heard of it, you actually have to look at them with that stare right back at them. How'd you miss it? And from there, it really got interesting with the fact that these guys are saying, oh, yeah, this is a really good idea. We're going to actually be implanting this in human beings, and it'll hold all of your medical information. It won't be a nice thing, because if you should be stuck out of town, let's say, and you get hit by a car
mm-hmm.
or in a car accident and you're unconscious, here's this chip that will be scannable, that they're going to have all of your data on. We'll have all of your medical information, any allergies, anything like that that you might have. Plus, it's going to have all of your insurance information, all of your financial information. So you really won't have to worry about the fact that you're in a coma. We'll still be able to take care of you. And that sounded pretty interesting to me and made me a little bit nervous, too, with all of that information being stored on a chip inside my body.
Well, because the bottom line is you have no control then. If you're unconscious, you've been hit by a car... They can do whatever they want with you. They can do whatever they want with you in the hospital.
No question.
Well, I'm sorry, what was that?
I say no question.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you have. No, they just grab your limp arm, put it up to whatever the scanning device is, and bammo. Oh, this guy has $90,000 in the bank. Look at him. Well, he don't need insurance.
I calculate he can live for 1.2 years.
Yeah, and you have no control over that whatsoever. Verichip's another interesting angle on Verichip, too, and we discussed this a little bit on the show, I think last week a little bit, was... The marketing they're doing on this. I mean, and you are right, Michael. There's been tons of media on the Verichip, okay? But the marketing angle is what I find interesting, along with hysterical at the same time. It is like a club mentality. That's how they're trying to market this now. Well, if you don't have the chip, you're not going to be cool. You're not going to be part of the club.
Oh, you're not kidding. And I'll tell you something about that, Dave. When you talk about this marketing program of theirs. They're already accepting pre-registration.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, I've got actually some of the marketing, which is pretty, just like you gentlemen point out, it's pretty funny when you start reading this.
Oh, yeah.
When you listen to this, it's Verichip, the world's first subdermal personal verification technology, announces a very special introductory pre-registration program. Sign up today to be among the first in the world to, quote, get chipped, close quote.
Yeah, there's your tagline.
Got
right there.
Milk.
Get chipped.
Oh, listen, just do
right,
it.
Okay, it's like got milk.
Got milk.
Just do it. Get chipped.
Right. We invite you to fill out the pre-registration form below to qualify for this special introductory offer for the first 100,000 registrants and all qualified ADS shareholders. And here's the pitch. $50 off. All ADSX stockholders of record will receive a $50 discount at the time of their chipping procedure. And then they also offer another $50 off to the first 100,000 registrants who will receive the $50 introductory savings at the time of their chipping procedure. We appreciate your interest in Verichip. And it just smacks of Orwellian business right there, you know.
And I know from another broadcaster out there, and I'm sure you're familiar with him too, Mr. Alex Jones. He's talked about Verichip a little bit also, and one thing he pointed out, that there is an actual Chipmobile cruising around the country right now as we speak. The Chipmobile is coming to your town soon to
it's
get you
chipped.
It's
one thing when they send out the Dellmobile or whatever they have, but to put this thing in your neck or in your hand.
The Chipmobile, come on. Don't you want to go for a ride in the Chipmobile?
No.
Neither do I.
Well, the other thing, guys, that you really kind of have to look at, because this is where it gets a lot scarier, is the evolution of this chip now. Because right off the get-go, of course, we've all now heard of this microchip. It's about the size of a grain of rice.
Mm-hmm.
It gets inserted through a syringe. But you'd imagine with the size of this chip being the grain of rice size, that's got to be a pretty wide syringe
that's
that they're going
to inject
you with this thing with.
Absolutely.
Then I started to research a little further, of course, and I came along the company SmartCode. Now, SmartCode has a chip as well, an RFID chip, just like Verichip, only theirs is the size of a grain of sand. Now, that gets a little bit easier to implant into an individual because now I don't need quite the size syringe, but it gets even better.
Mm.
And that's because now, of course, we've got conductive ink. And with conductive ink, you can actually take the ink and draw an RFID chip right onto the body itself. So now what you've got is you've got something that can be tattooed on you as a mark, and that by itself can be your radio frequency ID chip, as simply as a tattoo, and it would be something that would be painless and something that would be the size of a freckle.
Ugh.
So you now start to look at how convenient this would be and how comfortable it will be. No, ma'am, we don't have to inject something the size of your dog into you. A small tattoo on the back of your hand that will be non-noticeable. It's even flesh-colored. Isn't that convenient, ma'am?
That's wonderful. I mean, that's so great.
Oh, man, I can't wait to get chipped now.
No
doubt. Jeez. I'll tell you, it goes one step further than that, because that started me thinking. Once we got to that aspect, and of course it's going to lead you to the Christian aspect, because you look at America and it's mostly Christians.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that read their Bible regularly, and inside the Bible in the book of Revelations it quite clearly states that this is the mark of the beast. Or a lot of people would believe that, and certainly rightfully so to believe something like that. But it gets even better. Because now you start to thinking about what would happen if I decided not to do that. I'm not going to get chipped. I'm not going to volunteer to do that. And now it comes down to, could they force us into it? And yes, they could, because if you go to information, for instance, like look at the technology as it comes out and is unveiled to the public. The SR-71 Blackbird comes to mind. Here's a stealth, you know, bomber that we've been flying around for a decade before anybody tells the public that it exists.
Mm-hmm.
So if I now today know that there's conductive ink, and they're letting me know this today, that means a decade ago they had it. And now I wonder, what do they have today that we won't know about for the next decade? And that led me immediately to nanotechnology, because, of course, that's the next wave of technology. And nanotechnology, for those people who may not know what it is it's actually building small machines or small devices on a molecular level. You're literally taking a handful or several atoms together,
mm-hmm.
and you're combining these things and training them to self-replicate or to perform a function.
Mm-hmm.
And to find out, again, let's go back to that SR-71 aspect for a minute, because about a decade ago or so, IBM did an unveiling of sorts to the public, and it was on nanotechnology.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed under an electron microscope, where they made a pool of atoms stand out and make a small impression, if you will, that spelled out the letters IBM. And they made those atoms do that. They trained those atoms to do that underneath that microscope. And that was a decade ago. So again, that brings me to today. Where are we with nanotechnology today? And could they then make a radio transmitter the size of a handful of atoms, a small amount of atoms? Because if that's the case, you could take a million of those radio transmitters on the palm of your hand and walk down New York Street, subways, whatever, and go and blow them at people, and they would be inhaled by the thousands.
Well, that's what, I mean, as far as this time aspect goes, too, it makes me think, let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that they've had this type of technology where you could get this tattoo on you 10 years ago. And I go to get a physical done, for example. Well, if you want to, and I mean, most of us, if we want to get a job in this country, you know, for a decent paying job, we do have to go get a physical done to make sure we're not on narcotics or whatever it may be, right? If they had this technology 10 years ago, for all we know, we could be printed right now for all we know. I mean, that could be very well going on. And like we said, it's flesh-colored. How do I know it's on me? How do I know it's even on me?
I don't know. Here's the thing, guys.
Well, I'm not asking you that. I'm just saying.
Well, here's the thing. You don't know about something like that. You can only speculate.
Exactly.
Nobody can have an answer to that because, of course, you know, as we've all found out, the government doesn't exactly want our information or input when they decide to do something. So this government, and whether it's the government that's on top or the shadow government that's actually running things down below,
mm-hmm.
either one of these groups are going to stand up and do marketing campaigns to explain how we've all been chipped. So the question would come down to whether we have or not, we don't know. It comes down now to, can we do, and what are some of our options as to what we would do if they were going to do it? And the next big question is, well, in the first place, why would they do it? And that's a big question in this whole topic of discussion, is the why factor. And the why they would do it is because once they've got us chipped, they can push this country into a cashless society. At that point, they abolish all forms of cash and all forms of paper assets. They convert them to a smart code that they can put onto a smart card or onto the microchip inside you should you be chipped or already be chipped or at some point get chipped.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, every single transaction that we make as citizens would no longer be private but could be tracked by that shadow government.
Well, they're already trying to move towards that with the. I've used this example before. I'll use it again. I went to a store a couple weeks ago, actually before the holidays, and I walked in with cash in my pocket, Michael. I walked in there with cash in my pocket. I was planning on a very quick visit. Walk in. I knew exactly what I needed. Walk back out. Right. I walk in. I tell them exactly what I need. I pull the cash out of my wallet and I say, "Here's my money." They put the tape in my hands and say, "Can we get your name, please?"
Isn't that interesting?
Can we get your address, please? And I've gotten to the point with this now that I'm saying, no, I'm not giving you any of my information. I'm paying you with cash. I'm not buying dynamite. I'm not buying anything. I'm buying a cassette tape here.
Right, I'm buying a CD today.
Yeah, I mean, why do you need to know my information? And the excuse always is going to be, well, we want to put you on our mailing list so we can send you promotions and things like that. Well, maybe, first of all, I don't want to be on your mailing list. Second of all, there has to be some other reason besides your marketing that you want to do, obviously,
right.
That you're taking all this information down on me. Why is that?
Guys are both out in the Detroit area, so that's a pretty major market in the country. I'm over, I work in the Minneapolis area, which is the 16th largest market in the country. I'll ask you, because I've seen it here, have you seen any point of pay contraptions coming up at various corporations? In other words, are there any places that are semi-cashless now or will allow
absolutely.
You
cashless? Absolutely. I was just at one 2 days ago.
Where was it?
I don't want to say the name. I'll just say it's a very large hardware supplies retailer.
You're kidding.
Okay. I'll say it then. I'll be happy to say it in
okay.
this respect, guys.
Okay.
When we're doing radio and we're doing a broadcast and something is a fact,
okay.
something is an established fact, then you can bring up them by name, especially
you are correct.
If it's something when you're reading from some article that's already out in the domain of the public.
Well, in that case, then I'll say the name myself then. How's that sound, Michael?
I would imagine I can take a stab at the guest, but you shoot first. And
okay.
I'll give you this much for the listeners. The initials HD, Greg.
You read my mind, Michael. Yes, the Home Depot. the Home Depot.
And here as well. But I'll tell you, that was the first time that I personally saw that. And that was at the Home Depot chain. Now, I've got an article that just came out here in December that really caught my attention because we don't have these stores around me, or I've never seen one, but they're all over the country, and that's the retail pharmacy chain of CVS.
Yes.
And I don't know if you guys have this retail pharmacy chain out by where you guys are.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Okay. Well, listen, you may have seen this happening there, but it's going to be happening now where all this leading retail pharmacies, which is, by the way, for most folks who don't know, are headquartered in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, and American Express have jumped into bed announcing Express Pay, and it's American Express's contactless payment program. It's available now to all customers at all CVS locations, or at least will be by mid 2005. CVS, just so folks know, operate more than 5,300 stores in 36 different states and Washington, D.C. They're already offering Express Pay-enabled point-of-sale terminals at 485 stores in Arizona, Texas, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, Kansas, and Missouri. And what's interesting is when I start looking at it, boy, that's a lot of stores, I had no idea how many of these other corporations are involved with this right now. There are a lot of companies that are doing this exact thing. For instance, I don't know if you guys have the restaurant chain, the fast food chain, Carl's Jr.'s.
No, that never made it up into Michigan very well.